Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about that kick-ass 107-102 win over the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, there's so much to break down here. It was an incredibly amazing game, especially that fourth quarter. Our second team played amazing. But here's the stat, is we are 6-1 when SGA scores 30 or more points. It was on full effect tonight. He was balling straight up. It was great.
We were able to take control of the game, come from behind, and seal the win. To me, you know, there was a big run that our bench had in the fourth quarter. I want to talk about that and so much more. I'm so excited everybody joined us today. We're going to get through the recap. We're going to talk about our stats. We're going to look at that. Look forward to that week-long break we have during the All-Star. We're going to talk about the fan of the game. And, of course, we got some mad shit to talk. This is a big win, so we're not going to let anybody off easy. Thank you for joining us for The Last Storm. We are the Worldwide Thunderstorm, and we're coming into your house right now, baby. Thunder up.
Man, what a hell of a game, man. The way that we came out there and played in the beginning, in the first quarter, was huge. These guys came out like they had a chip on their shoulders from the way they played last night. Roby played outstanding. These guys played as a unit. They passed the ball around incredibly well. They were unselfish with the ball. That extra pass always happened tonight. We found the open guys so many times. It was stinking ridiculous. I was absolutely floored by this team. The way that we were able to continuously grow as a unit is massive.
Yeah, I saw a coach talking about, you know, they wanted to be able to keep their defensive positioning intact, but they wanted to be able to increase the turnovers that their opponents were putting out. They didn't want to give up better shots, but they wanted to increase turnovers. And so they wanted to figure out a way, like he said, to have their cake and eat it too. And, you know, today, I think the Spurs probably feel like they turned the ball over way more than they should have. They've turned it over way more than they're used to. And halfway through, I got switched over to the San Antonio stream. So I was listening to Sean Elliott and them talk about just like they really felt like the Spurs beat themselves. But I'll tell you right now, they can say that. But what we did was we went in there and we wrestled the game right out of the jaws of defeat.
This is the second time we played against San Antonio and been able to pull this off like this. We absolutely love to see this as a team when they're able to pull together and get a win like this. Now, last time we played them, we won on the last second shot. This game was a little bit different as the game went on, but it was the same type of mentality. We came down from 14 points at one point. This team never stops fighting. They come at you, they get hit in the chin, they stand back up, and they keep on going. This is exactly what we need from an Oklahoma City Thunder team.
Yeah, man, they represent our state. They represent us so well. We are so proud to call them this team. We are so proud to call this team our team. It's been amazing to watch. This has been one of the most exciting seasons I ever remember. And I've been watching the Thunder for a long time, man. Ever since they've been the Thunder. I remember when we had the Hornets in Oklahoma City. And I've been a fan of the NBA for much longer than that. So, you know, I've seen a lot of basketball in my day. And this team plays the right way. This team puts the effort out. And this team is not giving up. What we saw today was the pure style of basketball that we like to see. Man, we have that scorer in SGA who has the handles and he really knows how to close the game. But you can't just count on him. You can't just everybody throw him the ball and everybody stand there and step back and watch. I mean, sure, we used to do that with Michael Jordan, I guess. But in the end, there's very few players you can do that. SGA did close the game for us, but really what I think the key to the winning that game was a couple of offensive rebounds and putbacks. I'll go with Kenny Hustle, Isaiah Roby, and Lou Dort. Plus, you can also throw in Mike Muscala. Those guys, to me, brought home the victory.
They willed the victory to the Thunder. The way they played defense at the end of the game, Dort's big two steals, I think two of the three steals that he had, two of the four steals that he had. He was able to get off of, or in the fourth quarter, especially in the last 5 minutes of the game, our defense closed them out. San Antonio, like Mark said, doesn't turn over the ball a lot. So when we were able to make them turn over the ball 19 times in this game and capitalize on that, that was huge. I, again, have to circle this whole idea of this team isn't in any way tanking. And I want to throw out a huge shout out to Tencho. He is taking a lot of shit from a lot of different angles right now. And I just really appreciate him standing up and saying what is whack is the way that things are going down and telling the Oklahoma City Thunder fans that this is a tanking team when obviously this team is too good to be tanking. And it is. This team is exciting to watch. It is incredibly fun to see how they are gelling together and how they continuously play amazing defense and amazing offense and get the ball. Now, we watched a horrible offensive game last night, but they came back with fire and they were able to pull this off to go 4-3 in the last seven games. I felt like they could go 5-2 in the last seven games, but 4-3 is still really big. It puts us within, I think, what, three games of eighth place right now. So this is exactly where we need to be.
This is exactly where we need to be. This is exactly where we hope to be coming into the break. I mean, in fact, we're probably better off than I imagined we'd be. And we're in a situation when we come back from the break where we're going to get better just by default. We're going to be rested. There's a good chance George Hill will be out on the court for us. And we have so much to talk to you guys about how we see the trade deadline going, because we keep hearing all these people imagine us trading away key pieces so that we tank. And clearly we don't believe in that. And we've been holding out talking about trades because we have so many ideas and they don't cost us anything because of one key thing. And we'll get into this more later, but Sam Presti has achieved amazing trade exemptions. And so we're going to play around with those in the upcoming week. We have so many different ideas we want to talk about. But first, let's talk about the game a little bit more. Let's start with the first quarter, obviously. Let's see. So we start out with Roby, Baisley, SGA, Dort, and Tao. I felt like we started out with a good pace. Pretty early in the game, Baisley knocked down a three. It was off of really great ball movement. SGA got the assist, but it was like a pass, and it was great to see. Then Roby got a bucket off of a Tao assist, and then Tao was able to knock down a three off of a screen by Roby where they went under the screen. And this is something I've been noticing with Tao a lot. When they go under the screen, he knocks down the three. And to have a player who can recognize what the defense is doing and confidently shoot the three, that's really, really special at the age of 19. He has other skills, but just that skill alone, that is borderline elite.
We've been saying it for a while that we felt like the way that Maladon plays the game of basketball isn't very typical to find in the second round of a draft pick draft class. But the fact is, and the reality is that he was there. We're able to get him, and he is turning into one of the best steals of the draft. I continue to get excited about this ability to pass the ball to the open guy. And he has this extra dribble that he draws the guys out on. I've been calling it all year. I don't even know what to call it except for the extra dribble, because he takes that extra dribble and he takes a sidestep, causing the defender to have to come out and play him. And when they do, he finds the open man. And usually it's either Mike or Hami, or, you know, we could go down the list of different guys that he finds open. Kenny Hustle, he finds the open guy because of the extra dribble and step back. And the second he does that, he allows the defense to collapse on him. And he is so incredibly intelligent. He's only 19 years old, and yet we continue to see this maturity that's incredibly rare for the NBA.
Right. And another play that happened with 8 minutes and 30 seconds left in the quarter was Dort was able to knock down a three. This time it was right off of a Roby pick and roll, and Roby got the assist too. It was great to see Roby in the pick and roll over and over and over again in this game. He really plays it well. He plays it well with SGA, but clearly he plays it well with Tao and Dort too, because both of them were able to get threes off of his excellent play. A few plays later, Dort was able to get a block. Baisley was able to get an and one. He missed a free throw, but he went coast to coast, and that was a really, really strong play. At that point, that put us up by 4, 13-9. San Antonio blew a timeout, and they came back, and they were trying to get things going. Roby, once again, and it didn't necessarily convert into anything, but he was able to grab a rebound, immediately start the fast break, and dribble up. I love seeing that happen. Every time he does that, that's great. We were able to, though, this time we were able to get a few players later anyway, we were able to get a three by Dort off of Roby assists, and that was, you know, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that type of teamwork. Roby is everywhere right now, and you know, whenever I read this back, I'm gonna say his name quite a bit. 5 minutes and 30 seconds left in the quarter. SGA hit a mid-range floater. Roby got another offensive rebound. He got hit really hard in the face. He took it right on the nose, it looked like at first. He went down and he wasn't getting up. I was pretty concerned. When I saw it was hit right on the nose, I knew why it took him so long and it wasn't like hit on the head. Pretty big difference, you know, especially with concussion protocol. He seemed to shake it off pretty well as the game went on. Kenny knocked down a three off of a tie assist with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. That gave us a lead again, 21-20. SGA was able to get to the basket. Tough drive, and it's really, really impressive how he's able to finish with contact. That was with 2 minutes left in the quarter, put us up by three. Moose was able to knock down a three off of an SGA assist with a minute and 20 seconds left in the quarter. And then with a minute and 11 seconds left in the quarter, Coach used his challenge on a Dort foul on a screen. It was a moving screen. They deemed it to be a good challenge. It was great to see because, you know, that was something that Dort did a few times in the game. At the end of the quarter, we were up 27-24, and that was good to see. But, you know, especially considering how the last game we were really struggling on offense, it felt like this was a completely different game, and we knew what we were trying to get done.
Absolutely, Mark. And it was really interesting to see how Coach was able to pull that challenge and actually get it overturned. I felt like it was a moving screen just watching it. I was frustrated for Dort. But Dort didn't go to the ref and start screaming at the ref and, you know, isolating the ref to make sure he felt stupid. What Dort did was went over to Coach and said, Coach, I think that's challengeable. I think you should think about it. And Coach took a second. You could see him thinking, and then he challenged it without hesitation at that moment. That's exactly what we need to see from Coach and the team. Like Mark said, we were able to get the call overturned, and it was big because there were so many things that were going on and going wrong for us at that moment. It really gave us a fire about us. And again, this is all about Coach being able to recognize what the guys need and being able to help them out, doing the things that they need to be able to do by calling and saying, listen, if you guys, I have a challenge. If you guys feel like a call is bad call and I agree with you, I'll challenge it for you. And that is a lot for a coach to be able to trust his players and vice versa.
Yeah, especially with such a young team. And, you know, right at the second quarter, I know it happened earlier in the first quarter, but Michael Cage and they announced that basically SGA had scored his 2,000th point in the Thunder uniform, which is pretty impressive. You know, this is, I think they said it was also his 100th game at the same time, you know, so pretty remarkable level of consistency that he's been able to have. It's the third fastest that any Thunder player has reached 2,000 points, and I don't think I have to go any further on that one.
Yeah, that's quite obvious, but, you know, SGA, I'm really stoked that he was able to pull this off. He's been playing more and more minutes. Coach have been expecting more and more out of him. He continues to get to the foul line a lot a game. He got to the foul line 10 times tonight. But that's something we, Mark and I, have been very excited about because he's not one of those cookie monsters by gobbling up a bunch of shots like a James Harden or Kevin Durant or Steph Curry. He is incredibly effective with taking under 20 shots a game. And so getting to the foul line a lot means that he has an opportunity to put up, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12 points on the foul line that are free throws. Tonight he hit 9-for-10 from free throws. As a team, we were at the line 26 times tonight, but SGA just did a really good job at creating that contact while getting to the hole.
Yeah, to start the second quarter, San Antonio really increased their pressure, and that really gave our second unit fits. And they were able to create quite a lead, and that's what, you know, we had to overcome in the third quarter. But let's talk about the second quarter. Start out, Moose was able to get a bucket off of a Teo assist, From there, it took us quite a while to get another bucket, and that's just how the game goes sometimes. Justin Jackson was able to hit a runner with 8 minutes and 30 seconds left in the quarter, so that was about 3 minutes where we didn't score a bucket. Kenny got the assist there. Let's see, Moose got a block, and Justin Jackson got a block, but once again, this was a dry spell for us, and we were back into the point we were having trouble getting anything going. And it went from another about 4 minutes before we got another bucket. We did get a couple of free throws from Roby, but it wasn't until SGA came back into the game with 4 minutes and 20 seconds left in the quarter, and he hit a really, really tough bank shot that brought the score back down to, we were down 9, 37 to 46, and we were really trying to figure out how to get things going. I remember texting you and saying, man, it's very hard for us to score without SGA in the game. And normally, you know, the second unit has Roby out there, and they didn't even have that. So we were really struggling to find some offense. But when SGA came back in the game, he was able to get things going for us. He was able to find Moose on a three. It was a great look away or no look assist he had to Moose in the corner. I love seeing it. And then he was able to find Roby for a bucket on a bounce pass on that pick and roll. And, you know, like I said, once again, Roby in the pick and roll.
Yeah, Roby in that pick and roll, and something that you don't see in a lot of stat lines is when he sets a pick, he turns his back to the person that's coming to him, so he seals them to the hole. And a lot of times the big man gets stuck at, do I guard Roby curling to the hole, or do I stay there and try to guard their three-point land? Again, we saw it over and over again tonight. When Roby would roll, he would leave SGA, or he would leave Baisley, or he would leave Dort wide open for the three, and they would hit it. Maladone for the three as well. And they would hit it. Because of the way that he is setting screens, it's something that's incredibly awesome to watch. He is turning into one of the best pick and roll centers in the league, and that's just something, again, which it's really fun to watch, because these are things that he's adding to his game to continue to get better and better and better.
Yeah, man, I'm going to say it, and I'm probably going to regret it because people are going to blow me up, and I don't really give a shit. You can say whatever you want, but Roby is starting to look a lot like Karl Malone in that pick and roll. There, I said it. Now you guys can attack me. I don't really give a shit. All right, so back to the game. With 2 minutes and 12 seconds left in the quarter, SGA was able to get a bucket, and it is an and one. It was a sweet up and under. It brought the score back down 5. We were down 45 to 50. But by the time SGA knocked down a couple of free throws, about a minute and a half later, we were down 10. He hit them. We were down 47 to 57, and nothing was really going for us. Kenny was able to get a steal, and I love talking about that type of stuff. Offensive rebounds, steals, blocks, whenever we have dry spells, because it shows the effort, and the scoreboard doesn't always show the effort, and so that's what we like to recognize. Baisley was able to knock down a free throw. Dort was able to get an offensive rebound and got fouled on that, was able to knock down one of his free throws, and then there was a technical foul on DeRozan, and so we were able to get a free throw there. But that was pretty much it in the quarter, and in total, we were down 11, 50 to 61 going into halftime.
I feel like one of the mottos for this team is scoring droughts that they do. And, it's one of those things where you can see a lot of other people in the Oklahoma City Thunder media get upset about it. And it is something that it's hard to see when your team is going on a 3 to 7 minute scoring drought. But it's the effort that this team has learned to be able to step up and be able to get to that next level when they're not scoring and doing things right, that they're able to play defense at a very high level. We saw it over and over again tonight with San Antonio. We've seen it with Dallas. We could go down the list of teams that we've been able to see that they've been able to learn how to play defense and rev up their engines if they're not being able to score. And that's really big, because when we're able to start putting things together and scoring on a consistent basis, you're going to be able to see the runs that they're going to be able to put on are going to be impressive, just like they are already doing. Being able to go on a 17 4 run at the end of the game like that, those things are huge, and those are exactly what we want from this team.
Yeah, we love seeing this grit and this grind, this effort, this unwillingness to quit. Like we saw in the last game, even though we were down by, an unsurmountable total, we ended up fighting and making it somewhat respectable in the final, frame. And that's okay. We like to see the no-quit mentality. So to start out this quarter, we were down 14, and SGA was able to get a really tough finish. It was a great basket. I mean, he just has the ability to finish around the hoop that's uncanny. And I know people are talking about it now, but we shouldn't just ignore it because it's special. Dort was able to get us a steal. And then Roby was able to get a really cool offensive rebound, steal, tip in. It was great. So the guy had the ball. He tipped it up. He jumped up and he tipped it in. It was really cool. He could have dunked it, but he just kind of held back because why, right? Roby and SGA were able to team up for a steal a few plays later. Tao was able to get a bucket off of an SGA assist. And at that point, with 10 minutes left, we were down 10 and just trying to fight. Dort is able to knock down a three off of an SGA assist, and at that point we were down 9. Dort was able to get a steal and then an and one, and so this was his little run here. He got 6 straight points, and he was able to get some, you know, get some things going, and he was able to claw us back into it. After that and one, we were down 62-68 with 8 minutes and 42 seconds left in the quarter.
Yeah, again, it's just the team effort that we're loving watching right now. Like, Mark and I are both texting back and forth and just being excited about this team and what they're able to do, whether it's Dort and Bazley or Dort and Roby or Bazley and Roby. Like, this team is built to play together, and they're so stinking young, and it's so exciting because they're learning how to play at a very high level. Like, San Antonio isn't a chump team. They're a playoff team right now. And the fact is that we beat them two times in a row. And not only that, but we ended the season on a four out of seven games, which is huge. This team is learning to play together. They're doing amazing things. We didn't have Horford tonight. We didn't have Homie tonight. And yet we're able to win a game like this. This is big. This is exactly what this team needed to do just before the All-Star break.
Most definitely, dude. And so Roby was able to knock down a couple of free throws that kept us down by 6. Then Bazley was able to get a steal, run the court, find Dort. Dort found him back, and Bazley was able to get the bucket. At that point, we were down 4 with 6 minutes and 50 seconds left, and it was clear we were here to stay. Dort was able to get a steal a couple plays later, and with 6 minutes left, Roby got a huge, huge, huge dunk over Pirtle off the Tao assist that honestly is going to be on a lot of posters and in a lot of kids' bedrooms somewhere in Nebraska. I have no doubt about that. That brought us down 2 points, 68-70.
That dunk, I felt like, was for all those haters out there that have said that Isaiah Roby is not athletic enough to be a big man in the league. That, to me, is one of the better dunks I've seen all year. It definitely is in the top 5, and I think it shows you exactly the type of player that Roby can be if he continues to mature and get better and bigger. I feel like he's one of those guys that could really do a lot of damage every single night, and when he gets a start, we're watching something that is incredibly special that he's able to put together. So this is exactly what we need from this 23-year-old.
Dort was able to get a steal where he just went around and took the ball right out of DeRozan's pocket. It was great to see, and then SGA was able to knock down a 3 off of, guess what, a pick and roll with Roby. At that point, we took the lead briefly, 71-70, with 5 minutes and 35 seconds left in the quarter, and we were able to hang on to it and build on it just for a second when the SGA got a bucket going left with his left hand. It was, once again, found a way to score around the basket. But they went on a run, and they were able to take the lead back from us. SGA got another bucket, and he was able to then draw a charge off of a screen. He looked like Lou Dort out there drawing the illegal screen. SGA got a couple of free throws, and Justin Jackson got us an offensive rebound. SGA got another bucket with 30 seconds left that brought us down 81-82. But at the end of the quarter, we were down 3 points, 81-84.
Yeah, I felt like it was a huge pat on the back for the guys to even be at 3 points at that moment. They went on a run, and then we went on a run, and I felt like the guys just did a really good job at making sure it stayed close. I personally felt like this was a game that was winnable in the fourth quarter, being down only 3 points. I was really totally digging the way that we were playing defense at the end of the third quarter, and I knew that if we can continue to do this, it was going to create a major issue for San Antonio in the fourth quarter. We were allowing DeRozan to take the three-pointer consistently at the end of the third quarter and in the fourth quarter, and he hit it once or twice, but the point is that that's the type of shot that we want them taking, especially when the game's on the line.
To start out the fourth quarter, we had a long time before we could score any buckets. We got a couple of offensive rebounds, one from Dort and one from Muscala, but it wasn't until 9 minutes left in the quarter when Moose hit a 3 that we were able to score our first bucket. Tao got the assist there, and it was pretty amazing because it was just, we were really, really struggling. We did get one bucket before then off of the Moose offensive rebounds. That was 9 minutes and 30 seconds, but then Moose hit the 3. So that was 5 straight points for him, and that brought us back down 1 point. There was a point, though, when we were down Because in this game, we had a couple times where we would be, we'd close the gap, and then before we knew it, they reopened it back to 10. And so when we were down in the fourth quarter, and we didn't have SGA out there because he played the whole third quarter. So there was like this definite absence of somebody who could just go get the buckets. And when Moose went out there and got it done, and then when Kenny Hustle went out and took the lead for us off of a dunk, off of a Ty Jerome assist with 8 minutes and 30 seconds left in the quarter, we took the lead without SGA back out on the court. Pretty quickly, though, he comes in the game with 7 minutes and 30 seconds left, and I just felt like we were going to be okay.
Yeah, again, we were able to do some great things on defense to keep that game within spitting distance. It was really big that we were even able to keep it that way, but I think a lot of it had to come down to the way that Coach had designed the team to play defense in the fourth quarter, the way that the guys were able to execute what Coach's game plan was in the fourth quarter on defense. It really kept us in the game. Like Mark said, there was 2.5, 3 minutes of us not scoring, and that was really incredibly difficult, but especially in the fourth quarter. But the way that they were able to come back with fire in their veins, it was something that Mark and I totally got excited about. This team has a fight like very few teams that I've ever seen in the NBA be able to do. They remind me of a 1990s or early 90s team where they'll take a hit in the chin and come right back at you. You know, back in the day when you would have the Knicks versus the Heat, and you would have Patrick Ewing and Charlie Ward and Alonzo Mourning, they're all getting at it. Like to me, like this is the type of fiery team that this team is, and it makes me excited because the opportunity and the passion and desire to play and compete every single night is something that you can't really teach, and you got to see it in the fourth quarter, especially coming out slow in that beginning of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and we were, you know, right back in it, and we were fighting for it, and that's what it's about. Because if we, you know, had waited till SGA came back in to try to compete, we wouldn't have won this game. Kenny once again got another dunk. This was two dunks in a row for him. I don't think that's happened this season. SGA got the assist this time, and once again we put us up by one. The score was 90-89 with 6 minutes and 50 seconds left in the quarter. And then Moose was able to make that a 4-point lead with a three off of an SGA assist, and it was clear Moose was feeling it. Moose had a tough game last game, but this was Moose coming back and telling everybody he's just fine.
Yeah, again, this is exactly what we need from Moose. We need somebody that comes off the bench that scores 12 to 20 points off that bench on a consistent night. When he does do this and he scores at a high rate, we have a amazing record, and this is something that we need from him to come out and consistently hit two, three, four, or five three-pointers. Tonight he hit, you know, it was 4 for 7, incredibly accurate. I don't know. This is exactly what we need from a guy like Muscala. He wasn't just scoring at three on the 3-point range. He was bumping bodies down low and doing what it takes to actually get big buckets, like Mark said, off the offensive rebound. He was everywhere tonight. If it wasn't for SGA, I felt like Mike had the rights to the player of the game. He just was exactly what we needed in that big post down low.
Yeah, Mike was definitely getting it done for us. And you know, he struggled earlier. He had a couple plays where he got a jump ball force on him. You know, he missed a few shots, and I could see him visibly frustrated. And that's the type of leadership I like to see. It was just a sheer will and desire to make the game go his way. And he didn't force it, but when the shots came to him, he knocked them down, and he got pumped up. It was great to see, man. I love that guy. SGA was able to get a great bucket off of a fadeaway. With 5 minutes and 45 seconds left, it put us up by 6, and San Antonio called a timeout. With 5 minutes left in the game, Dort draws another charge on a screen. I mean, every time they blow a whistle when Dort's around it, I'm feeling like it's going the other way. Dort got a bucket after that with 4 minutes and 40 seconds left that put us back up by 6. And before we knew it, the San Antonio Spurs had closed the lead down to 2 points, and we were really struggling to hang on to it. We've seen this happen where we had trouble closing games, but this one had a different feel to it.
Yeah, we went a few possessions back and forth without scoring when we they hit a free throw to make it 97-95. We went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and finally we got something that needed to happen, another Kenny hustle play was able to happen to really put us in a position to do something special. And again, Kenny Hustle has done this all year long where he's able to do something special and he's able to sneak in the lane, get an offensive rebound and put it back in. And that's why I continue to tell people, if you're a coach, if you're a player, if you are mentoring a kid in any way, teach him how Kenny rebounds the ball. Whether it's offensively or defensively, he finds a way. He is incredibly elite with it, and it's something that people need to be able to pay attention to because it's special.
Yeah, and with 2 minutes and 10 seconds left in the game, SGA was able to drill a step-back three that put us up by five, and all I could write down was, wow. It was unbelievable, man. His control, and even Sean Elliott was just like, that's why you don't want to let him catch the ball. That's why you got to keep denying him the ball. And it was just like, man, if that's how he's going to play, we're going to definitely win this game. Baisley knocked down a free throw. Roby was able to get us a steal. And then with 23 and a half seconds left, SGA was able to knock down a couple of free throws that put us up by six. Baisley was able to close out the game by hitting a couple of free throws. And with the final, after they hit a three that was irrelevant, was 107 to 102. We were 12 for 40 on threes, so that wasn't particularly special. Our assist-to-turnover ratio was 20 assists to 16 turnovers, and so that wasn't really even that great either. But in the end, you know, our will is what got us the game won. Dort went for 15 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 steals, and 1 block. 3 for 9 on threes. Baisley, 11 points, 10 rebounds, 1 block, and 1 steal. He was 1 for 5 on threes. Roby, 12 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. He was playing really great. So SGA went for 33 points. That was the second highest he's ever scored in a game. It was tied for the second highest. 3 rebounds, 8 assists, and 1 steal. He was 2 for 4 on threes. Théo Maledon, 7 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 for 3 on threes. Kenny Hustle, 9 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. He was 1 for 3 on threes. Ty Jerome had 2 rebounds and 2 assists. Moose went for 18 points, 7 rebounds. He had 1 block. He was 4 for 7 on threes, like you mentioned. And Justin Jackson, 2 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 steal.
Yeah, man, there's a couple things I want to throw out there. Is our bench outside of Mike Muscala shot 1 for 10 in threes. You know, that's something that we want to see our guys continue to shoot that ball. Most of those shots were open. Ty has a incredibly deep range shot, so I like to see it when he shoots it from deep, especially when he's feeling it. It's nice. The other thing I want to bring up is something that, to me, has been standing out the last few games. Baisley has been gobbling up a rebounds like a madman out there. Right now, he has gone 4 of the last 5 games with double digits in rebounds. This is exactly what he needed to be able to do going into the All-Star break. Like, to me, it's not all about scoring with Baisley. If he can learn how to rebound and do all these other things the power forward position requires you to do, he can add scoring as his career gets on the line. But this is really big for him to be able to put 4 out of 5 games in a row with double-digit rebounds. He's doing really good at making sure he boxes out and getting to that rim with his long arms.
Yeah, man. And it's been a really special year to watch Roby come along. And now we're expecting quite a bit from him because he's proven that he's capable of playing. A lot of people have had trouble watching the game, so they're still not sure what they can expect from Roby. But that's okay. You know, it's understandable. But in the end, this was, in a lot of ways, you know, his coming out party. He just let everybody know that he is here and he's not going anywhere. He played really, really great. You know, SGA played awesome. This was, you know, a very important game for him and his longevity in the Thunder uniform. And for all those people who like to talk about potentially trading him for Luka or Zion and all these different fantasies that they have because they really would like to see, you know, an Oklahoma Cowboy and, you know, in a Thunder jersey. You know, it's just a fantasy. We have one of the best young scorers. And one of the best things about SGA, and I could talk about this all night, but is his humility, his ability to handle everything in stride, his ability to encourage his teammates. And the fact is, he's continuing to get better every single day.
Yeah, he is, Mark. And he's again showing us why he's so special. And this is what one of the things that I just believe in full-heartedly is that the tankers are always going to do these things. And we're just going to have to step away and let the tankers and their flapping taints worry about how we're going to lose games and how we're going to get better draft picks. Well, the Thunderstorm, us guys, are going to worry about the W's we continue to get because this is exciting. We are winning. We are coming at it. We are not going to stop. We're not here to brainwash you. We're here to tell you guys that winning is okay. Cheering for your team is a must. You cannot cheer for your team to lose and call yourself a legitimate Oklahoma City Thunder fan because you can't. This is not what Sam Presti has done. This is not what Sam Presti has a mind for. He is a competitor. He is not going to go for the tank. And it's why Mark and I are actually this week going to spend some time and breaking down trades that we see that can improve this team and for a playoff push without trading any of the guys that we have now.
Right. And if we do look at some of those combinations of trading players and stuff like that, it's okay. We have Trevor Ariza to trade. There's not going to be any love lost there, and I'm sure he'd be happy if that happens. So we've got a lot of creativity. We've got a lot to talk about. We've been holding back because we've been looking at these 7 days upcoming and saying, you know, We're going to bring you an episode every single day. We're not taking one day off because we talk about the Thunder every day. So why shouldn't we share that content with you? Because I'm sure that you guys love hearing it. If you don't, just tune us out. You know, we'll be back. It's no big deal. We've been saying the same thing pretty much every day since we showed up, you know. So it's no surprise if you don't want to hear us. But if you're listening this long, I'm sure glad, you know. And I just want to say, you know, to anybody who is listening, thank you. You guys, I'm going to make you guys the fan of the game. And everybody who has told somebody about this or anybody who's really a big fan, because look, there's a lot of vile and hateful stuff going on. Like, I won't even tell you guys all of the stuff that I have to deal with because it's so negative. But like the names, the assaults, like I tell people, like basically the only rules I have, like people can come and have a discussion with me on social media about anything, Facebook, Reddit, Twitter, it doesn't matter. I don't care, but there's only a couple of rules, and the rules are always expanding if people cross a new line, but they're very simple. You know, we're not going to deal with anybody who's gay bashing or trans bashing, okay? And we're not going to be dealing with anybody who makes fun of disabilities. And if you do any of those things, I'm not going to have a conversation with you. If you want to come and attack my ideas and you want to attack me, that's fine. But you don't need to hurt other people that have nothing to do with the conversation to hurt me. You know, if you can watch my videos and not think of anything to make fun of, then I'm sorry. That's stupid. Like, I look at my videos and I can easily mock so many things about me. But you don't have to mock other people with disabilities to make fun of me. And I understand why so many people are concerned about standing up and expressing their opinion that the Thunder should compete and the Thunder should, you know, go for the wins. Because there's so much negativity and you get attacked with so much vile, nasty stuff. You know, we've been compared to Trump supporters. We've been compared to people who try to storm the Capitol. And you know what? I don't really give a shit about politics. You know what? When people try to discredit somebody else by labeling them something that they're not to make it so they go away, like it's just proof that you're wrong. You're dead wrong. If you can't argue straight up with ideas without labeling people, then you're not going to ever win an argument. And so why don't you come straight at us? Because we're here to talk about it, you know? I made a bet with somebody today. I've never met this person, but I told him, you know, he's like, what do you want to bet that the Thunder are going to make the playoffs? You know what I bet him? I bet him an autographed Hall of Fame Connie Hawkins signed card. I have a couple of them around my house. I told him which number it is. I sent him a picture of it on eBay. I said, if we don't make the playoffs, this is going to get in the mail to you. I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is. We've said it this whole time. If we are tanking, we will quit our podcast. You know, we will bet something. When people say, oh, that's not really betting anything. Well, you find somebody out there at all that's willing to bet something that they've worked as hard as we have on this podcast. No, they all just like hide. They say, oh, no, we don't want to bet. We don't want to bet. They're willing to tell everybody that we're tanking and they're willing to disgrace and use that nasty word to label this franchise. But as soon as you say bet on it, they go, oh, no, I don't want to bet on it. But I'm willing to bet on it. I'm willing to bet the house on it. You know what I mean? I don't play around, man. I play for pink slips.
Yeah, and this is why Mark and I are so passionate about this. This is why Mark and I are here, is because we're defending the team. And people can call us crazy. People can call us names. People can call us whatever you guys want to call us. We don't care, because this is about this team. We feel that this team is being represented by the Oklahoma City Thunder, or Oklahoma City community, and the Oklahoma community, and all around the world, as we have found out very, very well. All those guys, Thunder Rat, Rat Boy, shout out to you. You guys are all the reasons that we're here, that we're continuing to fight for this team, is because you guys are the ones that are outside of the Oklahoma City Thunder community that don't have an opportunity to hear the good and positive things about the Thunder. And if you don't believe me, you can go listen to the other podcasts and you can hear all the negative things that they say about the Oklahoma City Thunder team, and continuously about the other players and stuff like that. They think that we should trade them. They think that if a team comes out with a legitimate trade offer, we should trade them. Yes, they're like, oh, well, we would only trade SGA for a certain amount of players. And I got this. And they're like, they say all the time, like, you would be ridiculously retarded if you would turn down this trade. And they would say SGA for Luka, or SGA for Zion. And to me is, why would you trade a big time player in the NBA that's healthy constantly to a team that is in the West, and a team that has a player that hasn't had a healthy season since coming into the league? And that's what's consistently we've been saying, is not only is SGA an elite player in the league, but he is also a healthy, consistently healthy throughout the league, throughout the time. And he's not going to be one of those guys that are going to miss a lot of time because of his style of basketball. And he has learned to slow down just before he finishes, which allows him to land properly. There's so many things that are amazing about SGA's game. But for us looking at it, there's not a single goddamn player in the league that we would trade SGA for.
And there's no combination. And then whenever, you know, people go after that, like, okay, fine, SGA is untouchable. I think that's pretty fucking universally accepted, even by the idiots that, you know, try to, like, create trades where they can get, you know, freshmen in college for him. But, like, think about it like this, okay? What do they always say after that? They always go, well, like, Bazley and Dort, oh, I would trade those guys for picks. Like, they always say that, and it's bullshit. And we don't want to go there because it's hurtful, it's wrong. We have too much invested into this team, and we're watching them on this upward swing of an amazing, amazing rebuild. This has been an amazing year of basketball. I am so incredibly grateful. I am so incredibly excited, enthusiastic. I have this deep sense of hope, pride, happiness. I'm just feeling it right now, man. I can't, the best way to put it, man, I'm full of joy. I'm full of joy from watching this team play in an open, free setting without too many egos. I mean, look, it's so hard to say anything like this, because then next thing you know, everybody's going to be thinking that I'm shitting on the other teams. I love the other teams. I love the other teams. I love watching them play, right? But in the end, you know, there is a lot of intense anxiety, you know, with those teams. And watching this team, I feel free. I mean, if you can watch this game and you feel as excited as I do, you know, then you know what I'm talking about. You know, but if you're watching this game and you're hoping that we lose, I'm sure you don't have any idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, this is an exciting year. You have to be jacked up at this point in the season. You have to be excited knowing that our schedule gets a lot easier than it's been all year for us. I'm telling you, everybody, right now, we are the last storm, and we're here to fight for this team. We're not going away. We're not doing anything. We're going to be here through the entire All-Star break. We have so many different awesome episodes to break down things. I personally am really excited, and I think you guys can probably figure this out by now, is I love to geek out on trades that will make this team better without trading any of the players that we have currently playing for our team. And I promise you this, it is going to be fun to be able to break down. We've got a lot of stuff to be able to get into, and to me, the next 7 days are going to be big for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
And we appreciate you joining us and helping us get the word out that there is a podcast that loves this team more than they love draft picks, that they love winning more than they love tanking. Thank you for being a part of it, what we call the Worldwide Thunderstorm. Thank you so much for joining us today for The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And tomorrow we're going to be dropping a brand new podcast. I am super excited about it. So stay tuned for that. I am Dave.
Thunder up, baby.